this is just life now, I guess. These four walls, these screaming people, the same routine every day until I go mad, which will almost certainly happen before actual physical death. We all know that it's important to take care of ourselves, but how exactly are we supposed to do that in a world where half of everything is closed and the other half is risky? Do I go to the gym to feel a tiny bit less like a flat slob, even if it means I'm at risk of catching COVID-19 because of it? How do we care for ourselves in this new world we live in? Especially between this kid being awake, then asleep, then awake, then asleep, then... Ah! Can they just go to bed and wake up at the same times, please? Okay, not that that's real life or anything, but that is real life, my friends. So, how in the world, as parents, are we supposed to be taking care of ourselves? Kim, Chuck, do you have this figured out for us?
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely not.
I was hoping this was the episode I just get to listen to.
We got to preach to ourselves, huh?
Hey, that's so true. That's so true.
You know, for me, the first 2 weeks of this were so hard. I mean, they were so hard. And I got to such a bad place after the first couple weeks that I had to do something different. And all those around me, which were only a couple because we weren't around people then, they all told me I had to do something different. And that really... I mean, this is hard. None of us who are living now have lived like this before.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as I think about the way I responded when this first happened, I was just ashamed of my immaturity, my childishness, you know, how much I just wanted to pout and just wanted it all to go away. And I think like you, Kim, the breakthrough that I had, probably a little bit slower than you did, but eventually I think I got there, was this is reality, right? And so what does self-care look like? And so, you know, we can talk about things that we're learning. I don't think any of us would put ourselves out there as experts and say, oh, we got it figured out. But there's definitely some principles that I know are really helpful and important. And so we can dig into those for sure. Looking forward to doing that. So, Kim, What was that change? You said that you got to a point where you had to do something different. So what did you do different?
Well, at that point early on, we weren't even seeing my kids and grandkids. We were just seeing them from a distance. And it's hard to socially distance with, you know, 7 kids under the age of 5. So we couldn't do that. But what I did was I started having porch dates or yard dates with people, where they'd bring a chair over and we'd sit and we'd talk. I think we were all also figuring out what our risk tolerance is, what we thought, because I had a pregnant daughter-in-law and a, you know, grandkid that was at risk. So there were decisions that I made that were different than other people's decisions. But what I realized is I had to be around people. I had to. So we found ways where it wasn't risky for me to be around people. And I also knew that I had to move more. You know, I was just sitting in a chair in Zoom meetings all day long. And it was just, and every night I had a raging headache. And every night then I had to spend time on my computer again responding to emails that I didn't get to while I was in Zoom meetings all day long. So I started, if I had meetings with people where I didn't have to look at notes or take notes, I would take a walk while I was meeting with them. And I got up a little early because I got an hour back. I'm not commuting anymore. So I got up earlier and walked every morning before I got on Zoom at 9. Because nobody on Zoom can smell me. If I've been out walking in, you know, 95 degrees with 99% humidity, nobody cares. I just wore a hat. So those were two things I did early on that really helped.
It's interesting, Kim, you say, so part of self-care for you, knowing that you need people, was still finding time to be with people even during the pandemic.
Yes. And even now I've expanded where I'll have a group of people and we'll go sit under my deck where it's shady. I mean, we're right by the air conditioner and it's not very pretty, but it's what we can do right now.
Yeah. So running is therapeutic for me. It always has been. And so one of the things that I did is, even though I had signed up for the marathon here in Cincinnati that was obviously canceled because of the quarantine, I just continued to do my running routine the same way. And Kim, to your point, I run with people. And I found that community to be so essential to me during the pandemic. So that was one of the things I did, is just did not give up on running and continued to do that. Another thing for me that I did was, I have a couple of sages that virtually mentor me, as we all do through podcasts. And I really leaned in to hear what they were saying, because I knew that they would be voices amidst the pandemic of wisdom. And so I really prioritized spending time listening to those podcasts and doing what they said. One of them is Pete Scazzaro, who wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and has a whole movement around that. And so, you know, he was the first one to really start naming grieving and the importance of grieving losses early in the pandemic. Slow down and really focus on union with God. And so for me, having a couple of days, even amidst the pandemic, that were just solitude days, to just journal and reflect and say, God, what are you doing? What's going on? How do I respond? You know, those were really important moments for me. And things that I've done. And then also just some really basic daily things. Like, I have a journal by my bed, and at the end of every day, I just journal 10 things I'm thankful for. And that's been a pattern and a discipline that I've had to lean into, because I bet you there's a point in that day when I'm disappointed about something. You know, that's just life in 2020, right? So it's been a good reorientation. And then just simply trying to get to bed at a decent hour. I know, Lena, when you have kids that aren't sleeping on a pattern, it's just super hard. It's super, super hard. Sadly, that doesn't go away. What I've learned is that it doesn't go away. My kids still. Oh, my gosh. This has been a week where I think 3 nights out of the last 5, I got kicked out of my bed by some kid and wound up on the couch because of thunderstorm, bad dream, whatever. So it doesn't necessarily ever go away. But what I find is, if I can be disciplined about going to bed when my kids go to bed or close thereafter, at least I have a little bit more in the tank for those nights when I don't get a full restful night of sleep. And so even just being really mindful about sleep time has been important for me.
I didn't realize how important sleep is. But reading more on self, I mean, there's a reason that they use sleep deprivation as torture.
Torture, right.
Right.
I mean, it really, and it affects everything.
Well, that's funny. That's what I was going to say. One of the self-care things, so I had a baby a month into the pandemic, which is a whole nother thing we could talk about, but we won't right now. But I think that's one of the funny self-care things was, I had to be okay with my baby girl sleeping in her room 9 months earlier than I was okay with for my first kid, because I just realized I needed sleep in this crazy time. I had to sleep train earlier. I moved our youngest into her own crib out of the bassinet by our bed earlier because of exactly what you're saying. Self-care looked like making a decision. My kid, she's good. Everything's good. I mean, you know, it wasn't harmful to her, but I had to choose my own sleep over the comfort of my infant directly next to me as part of my self-care in this time, which I could feel guilty about. And
Lena, I was going to say, it's actually not about the comfort of her. A baby in a bassinet by mom's side is about the comfort of the mom. She is absolutely just fine. And she's learning how to put herself back to sleep
early. Well, that's the thing. I think that we as parents have, you know, mom guilt is a real thing.
Yes, it is.
Chuck, maybe dad guilt's a thing too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't hear that one as often. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to get over the mom guilt or the dad guilt to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of our kids. You know, for me, that meant moving my baby out of my bedroom sooner than I probably would have wanted to otherwise. But I know that there, you know, it is hard to prioritize ourselves, especially in this time when, you know, our kids need so much from us. But
you just said a really simple, powerful thing, though. We have got to get over the guilt and prioritize our own self-care. Well said. Well said. So rapid fire, what are some easy ways for us to recharge and have fun? What's working for you all?
My neighbors, we will occasionally just send a text, the women will, and we'll say, we're meeting outside at 5 o'clock for beer and wine. Mm-hmm. And everybody just brings their own glass and we stand in a circle. Oh, is that bad that the first rapid fire question, the response includes alcohol?
I think that anyway, just makes it a normal response.
That's right. Wait, let me, I want to balance that. The other thing is, on either the Crossroads Bible app or the YouVersion, on the YouVersion Bible app, they have Bible plans that you can do with friends. Those have been great. They only take a few minutes. You can pick the plan that best, you know, suits you where you are right now. And then you and your friend can journal back and forth. Yeah. Does that balance out the alcohol response?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. Couple for me. One is, Kim, you named it. Even if you only have 10 minutes before your next meeting, get outside. If you can get outside and get a little sun for 10 minutes, that's a quick way to recharge. Obviously, if you can't get outside, just get up and move around is really important as we are kind of hunkered down more these days. The other one for me is I'm going back to the power of music and thinking about what's those songs that every time I listen to them, they make me want to dance. And I have a Spotify playlist. And when I get a chance to get outside and just listen to one song, I'm doing that. And it's just amazing, the power of music to lift my spirit. So those are some quick ways that I'm recharging these days.
Here's another one. Buy a helium tank and spread the joy. We've gone through two helium tanks. And if somebody's having a bad day or a kid on the street is having a birthday, we will blow up balloons. And it might just be the balloons that we leave on the doorstep. We might have a bottle of wine with it, not for the kids, but for the adults. That's been really fun. And doing for others actually recharges us.
Okay, so true confession, Kim, when you said buy a helium tank, what I thought you were going to say was like, suck the helium out.
Me too! I thought you were going to be like, laugh with your family with funny voices. I totally thought that was the point of the helium.
Well, that has been done. And then the people we've given them to, I can't tell you how many thank you videos we've received where they are talking after sucking on the helium balloon.
That's amazing.
I love it.
My self-care is way more stereotypical, I feel like. So here you go. Ladies, moms, this is for you. I love taking baths, true confessions. And so I'm like, you know what? I have 15 minutes after my kids go to bed, before I go to bed, and what, you know, I'm gonna read a book in the bath for 15 minutes a day. I can do that. That's self-care. I've also had to, I'm living and dying by my Google Calendar, as I'm sure many of us are these days. So I have to actually schedule something for myself in my week like I would a meeting. It's the only way it happens. Like, I have to put it on my calendar. And sometimes it's in the middle of the day. I know. Can you believe it? Usually it's not a bath in the middle of the day. That might be kind of weird. But it is. I mean, whether it's going outside, I've actually gotten my nails done after those opened and wearing masks in all of the safe ways because it feels like a treat to me. And I might not feel like I have my shish together at home, but if my nails are done, I kind of feel like I have my stuff together. Those are two quick things that, again, I feel like a total, right now I feel like such a stereotypical, like, I don't know, suburban mom or something in those things, but mom guilt aside, that's what's recharging me right now, is having my nails done and taking a bath. So there you go, ladies.
But see, Lena, what you're communicating is everybody has to figure out what does it for them.
Right.
And if nails in a bath do it for you, then that's what you should use.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. And if helium tanks don't do it for you, well, then I'll buy my helium tanks and you don't.
And if runs, you know, if marathons aren't your thing, could be someone else's. So, yeah, it's true. Okay, so take care of yourselves and you can't feel guilty about it. Dang it. That's what we're saying here. Is get rid of the guilt and take care of yourself because you need it and your kids need it. We're all in this parenting thing together. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, and ideas. So reach out to us all over email at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S. You Can Do This is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.